2 Kings chapter 7. 7th chapter of 2 Kings. I'm going to read 11 verses here this morning. 11 verses. And I'll start here in verse number 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" He said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." There were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there, and if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall be alive. And if they kill us, we shall but die." They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came, called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there is no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. I'll stop reading right there. There's more to be read in the story and more to be told from all of the spiritual lessons from this story. But I just want to talk to you a few minutes about faith, and this we'll call the march of faith. And just to give you a little background here, you go back a few verses into the previous chapter 6, and the city of Samaria is under siege, and that just means that the city is surrounded. And it was a common way that an enemy would come against a city. They would surround the city. They would cut off all the supply lines in and out, all the communication in and out. And many times they would even destroy their water source that was flowing into the city from outside the walls. Sometimes they would do something to the water to make it unacceptable or poison it in some way. And so they would be able to destroy them in a matter of time, because they were their wall that had once been a place of safety now becomes their prison, because they are besieged all around by their enemy. That's what's going on here in the city of Samaria. And things have gotten so bad that the price of food and even things that we would consider, and they I'm sure considered not even edible, those things, the prices. For instance, the head of a donkey was now worth $580. A pint of dove's dung was worth $37. A pint of dove's dung was worth $37. Things have gotten so desperate inside of the city of Samaria that now they are eating things that before would have just been thrown out and would be waste and trash. But now it's valuable to them because they are literally starving to death inside of the city. So a couple of things that before I talk about these four leprous men that I want to mention to you. First of all, is the terrible sin of unbelief. What happens in the life of a person when they don't believe God's word? It's important that we hear it taught. It's important that we read it. And many of us have been around God's word all of our life. But we often know it, but we don't believe it. If we really believed it, there would be the evidence of that in our life. We would see the evidence in our life. Well, I want you to notice in this first verse that the prophet spoke that day, and he said, things are about to change. And this was one of the most miraculous turnarounds that you will ever see in Scripture, a one-day turnaround. Now, I don't put God in a box to say how he's going to turn things around for you in your life. But I know if he chooses to, he can do it in one day. He can do it in an hour if he chooses to. But the prophet says, in one day, it's all going to turn around. He's talking about that they're under siege, they're starving to death, and these items that once were so, would really normally be trash, that now are selling for so much money. He said, tomorrow, about this time, you're going to be able to go buy fine flour for about 75 cents. And two measures of barley also. Tomorrow, it's just going to cost you about 75 cents. Well, it says that the man, or a lord rather, who the king leaned upon, this meant that he was, maybe not necessarily he physically leaned upon him, although that's possible, but it just means that he was a confidant. He was close to the king, that he was his counselor, and the person that the king trusted and leaned heavily upon him. It says that he speaks up and responds to the prophet and says, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Of course, he's being sarcastic about this and really making light of the prophecy of Elisha. But little did he know, but the word of God bears out the fact that God does have windows in heaven. Amen. And it's not only in Malachi do we read about the windows that are in heaven, but it's other places in the book of Genesis you'll read about the windows that are in heaven. And in every place it relates to the windows of heaven being opened up and great showers being poured out in times of famine, in times of need, that God would open up the windows of heaven and would pour out. And even during the flood, that the windows of heaven opened up. And the rain just kept coming. At that time, even the windows of heaven were the judgment of God. But it was a pouring out of rain upon the earth when the windows of heaven. And even in Malachi, when it says that when you bring your tithe into the storehouse and you pay your tithe, that the scripture says that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. And it was talking, of course, to Israel and telling them that you're going through times of famine and where you don't have very much and you're suffering. But if you'll just honor God with the first of what he blesses you with, he said, God will open up the windows of heaven and just pour out upon the nation and they'll become fruitful once again. Praise God. So there's a lesson in tithing there in that as well. But the real thing that I really wanted to talk about a minute here, just at the beginning, was the problem of unbelief. Who you believe or what you believe. I've actually talked to people who would say to me, who have said to me, well, I know that God can do this, but I just don't think that he will. I don't think that he's going to move in that situation. I don't know. And unbelief is just oozing out of every word that they're speaking. They have no confidence in God.
And that comes from our lack of willingness to put our full trust and to place our life in the hands of the Lord and to have a confidence that God is at work and can work in every detail of your life, no matter how small or insignificant. It's important to God if it's important to you, because He cares for His people, He cares about you, and He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you if you will just put your trust in the Lord. So we need to know, what does God's word say? If we put our trust in the word of the Lord, is He going to move? We know that God's word is true, forever settled in heaven. Amen. It's all been settled. It is all true, the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall not pass away. If it's in the word of God, if there's a promise in the word of God, then you can put your full trust in the promises of God's word, no matter what the enemy says, no matter what the liar, your enemy, who is a liar and a deceiver, whatever he says or what any person says. Now, that doesn't mean that the enemy won't fight an answer to prayer. And I know that for 21 days, the prince of Persia fought against Daniel's prayer, but eventually that angel won the fight. And Daniel received the answer. God can move and will move. And if he has to open up the windows of heaven, he will. So this man who thought he was wise and thought that his counsel was wise was a very foolish man. And when you read at the end of the chapter that he was assigned to be a gatekeeper by the king, and there was such a throng and a flood of people that they come flooding out of the city that this man was trampled to death. This very man, I want you to know that unbelief is, it robs you of the promises of God. And so even if you think in your mind, I don't believe that God can do it, then I want to suggest to you this morning, don't say that, don't speak those words, don't tell that lie. Instead, choose to believe the report of the Lord. Believe the word of God. Put your confidence in the word of the Lord. Unbelief will rob you of God's promises. It steals you. Doubt will steal from you what God has provided through you through the promises of God. Do you know that in unbelief, that even Jesus himself, when he entered into his hometown, that he did no miracles there because of that, the unbelief of those that dwelled there? That shows you the power of unbelief. That even the hands of Jesus are tied whenever he goes into his home area, that those people did not believe. They just thought, well, this is just the son of the carpenter. He's just a common man. And because of their unbelief, that city saw no miracles. Unbelief can stifle a church. Unbelief can stop the miracles of God. Unbelief can stop the flow of God's presence and God's power. And so it's important that we be a people of faith. We believe what God says. Amen. Believe the word of the Lord. Put your confidence in God. God takes unbelief so serious. Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. God says it's an evil thing. You know what that tells me? Unbelief is from the devil. It comes right out of the pit of hell to try to deceive you, to rob from you, to take from you. And I just believe that a lot of people, they're not healed right now because they're just overwhelmed with unbelief. They're not experiencing the blessing of God. Churches aren't experiencing the outpouring of the Spirit of God. So because we just think, well, it happened 20 years ago, 40 years ago. God's moved in the past, but he's not going to move for us now. And so we're just so consumed with unbelief that we do not believe that God can still do what he has always done. That unbelief comes from Satan himself. Amen. Hebrews 3 and 19. So we shall see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those who saw the promised land, they had the witness of the blessing of the promised land, but their doubt, their fear, their unbelief kept them from entering in and receiving the great blessing that God had provided for them. And they all died in the wilderness, and they did so because of unbelief. Unbelief can be a destructive force in your life. How do you fight against unbelief? There's only one way, and that is time with God and time with His Word. Amen. And not only that, but we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of the Lord. And so faith comes whenever we internalize it, we personalize the Word of God, we claim it for ourselves, we believe that His Word is not just talking for all of they, it is talking for me. It's to me. It's thus saith the word of the Lord to me personally. And I take His Word at face value and I begin to live it and act upon it. Now these four lepers were in the most horrible predicament because they are sitting outside of the gates of Samaria. We already told you the predicament that the city of Samaria is in. They're under siege. They're all starving to death inside of the city. And the only ones that were worse off than those who inhabited the city of Samaria were those four lepers. They were leprous, so they were inflicted in their body with this terrible disease that the law required that they keep a certain distance away from everyone. And if anyone approached them, they were required by the law to speak out loudly and to call out and say, "Unclean, unclean," and everyone had to stay away from the leper. They were outside of the walls of the city, hoping to get a crumb or someone would show mercy upon them and help them in some way, but they're not going to get anything from a city like Samaria. There's nothing left in that city for anyone. So their predicament is about the worst you can imagine. The predicament that they're in is so serious and that not only is their body physically completely consumed with this horrible disease, their limbs literally begin to fall off, and they become disfigured, and it's just a horrible. Eventually, the disease will consume them, and they will die of leprosy. But before they ever die, they die of being socially, put aside. No one, put away from their family. Husbands couldn't be with their wives or their children, or wives couldn't be with their families. They were completely isolated. That was the circumstance that they were in. It's not only a horrible disease, but that it's the most clear type of sin in all of the Word of God. What sin does in the life of a person. These four leprous men, I guess they just have a little powwow, and they just think it through, and they say, "Well, we know that if we try to go in the city, they don't want us in the city, but even if we were able to get in there, there's not anything inside that city that's going to help us. Nothing. Even if we can get inside there. And we know if we just stay right where we are right now, it's just a matter of time, maybe days or maybe even hours. We're going to starve to death. We're going to die out here in this terrible situation. So why sit here till we die? Why just wait?" And so what began to be from these four leprous men in their desperate situation was a march of faith. It was a step of faith. I know they were weak in body. I know that they had no real hope or that anything. They said, "Maybe if we get out there in the camp of the Syrians, they'll show mercy." Well, they weren't going to show mercy. These were their hated enemies, and they were not, but they said, we're just going to throw ourselves on the mercy of God, and they began the walk. And this walk, the scripture says that when the host of the Syrians, that the Lord caused them to hear a noise of chariots, horses, and the noise of a great host, and they said to one another, "I guess the king of Israel has been able to get some help." And they've called on the Hittites. They've called on the Egyptians to come and to help them. And so they left their tents, their animals, their food, all of their wealth inside the tents, and they ran for their lives. I just want to contend this morning, and I can't give any real exact spiritual, I'm making a spiritual application here today, that the march of those four men was a march of faith, and what the Syrians heard was the sound of armies coming against them. Amen. That's what they heard. All they were feeble. They may have been having to prop each other up. They may have just barely being able to make a few steps moving toward the Syrian camp. But every step that they made, it was like a mighty army. It was like the sound of horses. God was turning their weak steps of faith into something mighty, powerful, and that could strike fear to the heart of the Syrian armies. Glory to God. This morning you may be in a predicament and you don't know. You're filled with unbelief and you may be up against a circumstance that seems impossible. You don't know what to do, but you can't stay like you are. You can't stay where you are. And you certainly can't go back to the world, because the world has nothing to offer to you. There's only one thing you can do, is take a step of faith. Step out and believe God. Put your hope and your confidence in the Lord today, and begin to step out in faith and believe that God's word is true. And as you take that very feeble little step of faith, God's going to turn your steps into the sounds of a great approaching army against your enemy. Your enemy is going to be put to flight because you have taken the march of faith. You have put your hope and your confidence in a mighty God that can heal, that can save, that can provide for you, that can deliver you if you'll put your hope in the Lord here today. I know a lot of times people think, well, you know, I'm just one person. Sometimes a group like ours, we could say, well, we're not really that big of a church. What could we ever do? Well, if we try in our own might and strength, I'll just be honest, we're pretty sad. We're just not going to be able to do all that much in our own strength and power. But under the anointing of the Spirit, and as we step out in faith and we put our trust in God, God can take our little measly efforts as we step forward trying to do something for God, trying to reach out and minister to people, trying to be used of God, trying to see victories won in our lives, in our families, in our loved ones. God can turn your little small effort into some mighty force, some mighty army marching forth in the power of the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what he wants to do. For those of you here today in this service, and you have found yourself beaten down and alone, and you found yourself isolated and wondering, I don't know what I can do. I'm surrounded by problems and I have nowhere to turn. The answer this morning is faith in God, confidence in God. Amen. Your confidence has to be in the Almighty God, who has promised that He will work and that He will move. If we'll trust Him, we need to step forward in faith. Our confidence needs to be in the promises of God. Amen. And not allow, you know, the enemy, what he does is he puts you under siege. That's what he wants to do. He wants to put you in a situation where you can't do anything about your situation, your problem. And you're bound and you're under this siege of the enemy. He cut off the supply lines. You're thinking, I don't even know if my prayers are getting through. Doesn't seem like I can really feel the presence of God. I don't even know if God's moving in my life anymore. And the devil will cut off the supply lines because he wants to rob you of your faith and your confidence in the Lord. But this morning, can you lay hold of just a little bit of faith? Can you lay hold of just a little bit of faith? Just like those four lepers, as weak and trembling and feeble as they were, they didn't have much left, but they said, if we just sit here, we're going to die, so we might as well get up and try to move forward. Glory to God. So everybody, would you stand with me this morning, all across this building? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Obviously, there's no way that I can know all the things that every individual or family is facing right now in your life. But I do know this. If you just remain as you are, if you just stay where you are, and you may have been fighting this battle and in this struggle for a long, long time, if you stay where you are, this is where you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually in this predicament. You're going to die, maybe even physically, live out all the days of your life. And the enemy has you bound and stopped. But the Lord wants you to hear his word this morning. Amen. To hear his word. And understand that if we just sit here, well, we're just going to stay the same. But if you get weary with it and you get tired of just doing nothing about it, then this morning, and I'm not saying that, you know, physically taking steps this morning is the answer. But I do believe that in my heart that it requires a step of faith. And when we step out and believe God, step out and put your confidence in the word of the Lord. Many cases, he's already given you a word. He's already shown you in your word what he wants you to do, but you're holding back. You're not doing what he's promised that he would be with you. If you'd just step out, he'd help you. He would strengthen you. He would provide for you. So lay hold of that promise of God's word today and believe God. Believe God this morning. And we're going to trust the Lord to work and to move. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lies of any counselors around you that are not speaking the truth. Get a hold of God and get a hold of his word and walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, the march of faith was not some big army, but God turned their feeble efforts into something great and mighty, just as he delights in doing for the church, the people of God. He is always delighted in taking the weak and the frail and the unlikely, the base, the foolish, and turning their feeble efforts into something mighty and great. And he wants to do that today, this morning, for you, if you'll just reach out in faith. Now, that thing that you've been saying in your heart, God's not going to move in this. God, I'm going to be right here and in this predicament from now on. God's not going to, you know, it's not going to change. It's just going to stay the same. That's a lie. That's the enemy's lie. Remember where those lies come from? Right from the pit of hell. Right from the devil himself. He's the liar. He's the one that's told you that. Put your confidence in the Lord today and step out. So this morning, and I know this is just physically you're responding to my request, but I just really want to ask everybody in this congregation that if you physically can and if you're willing this morning to step out from your seat and just walk down here to this front and stand here at the front of this altar with your hands lifted up toward God and just saying, Lord, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to believe your promises. I'm going to lay hold of the promises of God. I'm not going to allow the enemy to lie to me anymore. I'm not going to listen to that deceptive voice, that voice of doubt and unbelief. But Lord, instead, I'm going to put my hope and my trust in you today. And I'm going to believe that you are going to answer prayer and that you are going to move in situations that are beyond our power and our control. And I want to encourage you all, please, let the Lord do a work in your hearts today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.